From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 15th day of September 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. And TGM's Matt Bennett in Windsor, Illinois, will guide us through the cash grain market. In agricultural news, a new GAO report says federal officials are not doing a very good job of monitoring antibiotic use in the livestock sector. And the RFA thinks the ethanol industry is moving full speed ahead. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt about the agricultural weather forecast and the cold weather that came across the Midwest last night. And it all happens in this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished the day mixed. The nearby contract in the December, soft red winter wheat for the day finished at $6.96, down 8.5 cents. July soft red at $7.58.5, down 3.25. The Kansas City hard red July at $8.11.75, a penny higher for the day. December corn futures back in Chicago, $7.25, down 23.25. March at $7.14.75, a settlement price 23.25 lower. May corn, $7.22.75, down 22.75. July at $7.26, 22.75 lower. September corn, next year, $6.72.5, down 20.75 in the 2012 December corn contract at $6.32, down 19.75 of a cent a bushel today. November soybeans, 24 cents lower, $13.58.75. January at $13.70.25, down 23.5. The March at $13.78, down 22.75, and May beans at $13.82.25, 21.5 cents lower. July at $13.90, down 20.5, and next year's November at $13.46.25, down 22.5. October bean meal $3.49.60, down 9.20. October bean oil for the day at $56.22, down 56 cents. Live cattle futures October contract at $118.90, down $2.10. December at $119.42.5, down $1.47.5. September feeders at $135.60, down $1.10. October at $137.77.5, down $1.17.5. And October lean hogs at $89, up 55 cents. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. October crude oil futures, $89.37 a barrel, up 46 cents. Ethanol at $2.66.4 down 5.8 cents. October natural gas at $3.88.3 down 15.6 cents. The October heating oil or diesel fuel, 8 cents higher at $3.02.5. And the gold futures for the day at $1,778.50 an ounce, finished $45 lower. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,415 now stands just about 169 points higher. The dollar at 76.2, down 0.5, and the CRB index at 332.6. That's down 1.5 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. They say mostly sunny skies. A high near 62 degrees, northeast winds at about 9 to 11 miles an hour, and that'll gust to 16. Partly cloudy this evening, a low of 41, east-northeast winds at 5 to 7. Friday day, partly sunny, a high near 65 degrees. Friday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 43. Saturday, mostly sunny, a high of 69. Saturday night, cloudy, a low of 52. On Sunday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the area, mostly cloudy. A high of 75 degrees Sunday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a low of 60 degrees. On Monday, we should see showers continue, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high near 76. Monday night, cloudy, and a low of 57. Tuesday, sunny, a high near 77. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 59 degrees. We'll have a more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest at the bottom of the half hour when we talk with agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Reports Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, is on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
And technically, how much damage have we done to the marketplace this week?
We've tore it up a little bit. For the most part, you got to say, though, that the correction off of the 779 high on East corn is still within the normal confines, basically, of a corrective decline after a pretty strong up move. And what I'm talking about is the move from the July first low there, 575, on up here to the 779. With today's decline, we've retraced 38% back. So this is a point that technicians will kind of look for support to kind of gather here. If this does not hold, then you could maybe talk about a halfway move back or 50% retracement, which is 677 and a quarter. But before I start talking about 677 and a quarter, I think you have to bring up on the lead futures chart. If you look at a lead futures daily, 50% retracement back, counting that same move, but it was the low on June 30th was done with the July 11 contract, and that was only 615. But now the high here was done here with the September contract at 764.5. So halfway back on that chart would be 690. So I guess I'm kind of in the camp. This it's kind of this $7 area as a key support. If it gives way, then I would probably look for the next support area to come in here right around the 690. So I think as long as the corn market kind of holds within this downside here between 7 and 690, I think you could still kind of call it a correctional move off of the strong move that we had from that late June, early July time frame on up here to the last part of August.
Would you think that's just because demand is waning or maybe constraining to fit what the expected supply is?
Well, you got to understand that's the function of price discovery. The function of price discovery is to balance out the supply for the marketing year. It goes higher to slow demand if it thinks it needs to slow demand, and it goes lower to seek out demand. And over the past few weeks here, it's not been any secret that buyers have been real hard to come by, whether they're domestic end-user buyers for the feed side of the equation or whether their export buyers have been real hard to come by. Now, we did have a decent weekly export sales number here today. It's one of the best ones we've had for some time. But our year-to-date sales level is still running 10% below or behind a year ago. So, yes, the function of this corn market or the function of this decline that we've seen over the past couple weeks is basically to come down to a level where it would find some end-user support and begin to kind of increase the demand prospects, because the last 2-3 weeks trying to market $7.50 corn into the marketplace was very difficult.
Are you of the mind that enough corn is coming into the marketplace at this point to put this kind of pressure on?
Yes. Well, it you know, harvest hasn't really begun full blast. I mean, we're in our listening audience is probably where it's going the strongest into the south of us. The north and the west has still got a few days or a week or so before it really goes. But there is increased movement coming into the marketplace, so there is some hedge pressure. I think the other thing that has been a big contributor to this two-week decline has been the sharp rally in the dollar due to the uneasiness in the eurozone, with Greece expected to go ahead and be allowed to default, and then what kind of dominoes effect that would have with other European countries in the Eurozone. So I think that's kind of been a real negative influence. I think the total uncertainty in the marketplace with the economic slowdown, people begin to see data that the U.S. economy is slowing down now. That goes for the case outside of the U.S. boundaries. So a lot of your demand enthusiasm that we had in the marketplace here maybe several months ago seems to be lacking at the moment. But keep in mind the function of the market is to seek out demand when it needs to use up some supplies and to slow down demand when it needs to slow down the inventory. So right now the function of the market after we've spent all summer basically trying to slow down demand, it kind of accomplished that. And now the function of the market now will be to try to come down and try to seek out some end-user buying in here.
In the past, you have said the problem with that silver bin on the farm is that producers tend to fill it. I want to ask a little different question. That corn, which has been harvested at this point, is it going over the scale instead of going into the bin?
I think, well, every location is a little different, but, the first thing farmers do is fulfill their contract obligations, and farmers did forward sell some of this crop earlier in the season. And then you always have an element of landowners that really don't do too much. They just expect the farmer that farms their ground just go ahead and sell it across the scale. And when you take into account these prices, and even if your yields are sharply lower, but they appear to be coming in anywhere between 15 bushels better than expectations, and you multiply that by $7, that's $30 an acre more than what they thought. So there is a pickup of movement. It's not big at any times, but the market's worried that the slowdown in demand and the talk of better than expected yields, that the market is a little overpriced in here, and that's what's kind of got into this market this week.
Take me through the soybean charts.
Soybeans also are somewhat similar to corn. Probably soybeans are having a little deeper type correction than corn. As I said, corn has only pulled back so far around 38%, but it would not surprise me to see it pull back 50%. The beans are now down to a point they're nearing a 62% retracement of that advance that they had from early July on into this late August. The exact number, I think, of the 62% retracement is going to be like 1352. Today's low in November soybeans was 56. So we're within a couple pennies of that. The other thing is that we were in this $1.28 range that I've been watching, and it was based upon the extreme highs and lows of the past 3-4 months, and the midpoint of that was 1346. I think if you would just look at closes, extreme closes on the high side and on the low side, the midpoint's about the same. So the midpoint of this big sideways range we were in is right around 1346. So as corn, where I think this $7 down to this 690, somewhere in here this break is going to catch in that 10-cent range. My guess is that the bean break here is going to catch here somewhere between 1352 probably and 1340. So I do think that the decline is going to try to catch, stabilize, and then we'll kind of go from there. We'll be a little further down the road in harvest. Each day we get a little further down. and we'll see what these yields are actually saying. I haven't heard too many on beans. I have heard some early beans or Group 2 beans done pretty good, but I haven't heard much other than that, Tom.
Yeah, the drop this week in the beans is actually pretty ugly on the weekly chart.
Yes, there's no doubt about it that you have to almost view the break above this 14.11, and we were there for about upwards, it looks like, eight to 9 days,
right.
And now down below it, that could have been a bull trap. We don't know for sure on that. Open interest was pretty level during that time. So, the USJ's bean report came out and viewed as very disappointing. Demand for beans is hard to sell, and you can see that by today's weekly export sales number. I think for the year on soybeans, we're looking at we're probably down 20% on year-to-date bookings for the marketing year, and there is talk that South America still has old crop beans left over from last spring's crop yet to market into the world market. So, and like I said, that's a function of the bean market here now, is to seek out a level where it would bring in some new demand.
Anything else to add before I let you go?
I think that's about all I can do for today.
Hey, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That is Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the closing market report on this Thursday afternoon, as he does. You can always hear him again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Now, a couple of notes, as we've been telling you throughout the week. The home station, which is WILL AM 580 in Urbana-Champaign, will be powering down probably next week on Monday, and it's quite likely that you won't be able to hear that station in the normal broadcast areas. But there are some opportunities to listen to us in a couple of different ways. You can pick us up off one of our affiliate stations in Waseca, WGFA, and in HPO in Hoopston, WKEI in Kewaunee, WTIM in Taylorville, and WHOW out of Clinton, Illinois. Or you can visit our website and listen to us online on your PC at willag.org, or on your smartphone at m.willag.org, or just dial this number, 217-333-3434. Now here's Dave with the news.
In agricultural news, a new Government Accountability Office report says that federal officials are doing a poor job of monitoring how antibiotics are used by livestock producers, making it impossible to examine the development of bacterial resistance to the drugs and the impact on Americans. The GAO report says, quote, without detailed use of data and representative resistance data, agencies cannot examine trends and understand the relationship between use and resistance. FDA collects data on how much antibiotics are used on livestock, but does not monitor which kinds of animals get different kinds of antibiotics. Livestock grown in the U.S. consumed about 29 million pounds of antibiotics in 2009. The chairman of the Renewable Fuels Association says that the U.S. ethanol industry is keeping its foot on the gas pedal at production plants, and if the trend continues, it could defy a government forecast that the industry will have its first drop in corn use since the turn of the century. Chuck Woodside says, quote, plants are making some money. I anticipate we're not going to see a huge reduction in demand. The U.S. mandate for conventional biofuel will rise 600 million gallons next year to 13.2 billion gallons. A G20 development meeting next week will draft a plan for increasing agricultural output, boosting infrastructure spending, and improving access to financing for poor countries. The September 23rd meeting of finance and development ministers from the G20 group of rich and developing nations will receive a report on solutions for financing development drafted by billionaire Bill Gates. The report will also talk about the role of emerging nations in international cooperation. Analysts today at France's Strategic Grains lowered their 2011-12 forecast for soft wheat production in the EU after heavy rain affected both the quality and quantity of crops in Germany, Poland, Scandinavia, and the Baltic states. Strategic Grains now expects the EU to produce 129 million tons of soft wheat, down from the estimate of 29.9 million tons that it gave in August. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, that second program you can hear off our website at willag.org, or for smartphones, m.willag.org. After about 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, our guest this week, Ray Jenkins. He's with Cargill's Eddyville, Iowa plant. On the phone line with us now to take a look at the cash grain market is TGM's Matt Bennett. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Are you taking any corn or beans in there in Windsor, Illinois?
Yeah, we're getting quite a bit of corn in today. Several guys were able to get back in the field with all the sun and wind after getting this rain, but you know, we're having a pretty busy day.
And I asked this question of Dan Zwicker earlier, but are farmers okay with selling across the scale in the crop, or is it just things that are you taking in and taking in what to crop they've already sold across the scale?
Well, you know, between what they've already sold that's been contracted and the guys that are selling across the scale, we're storing very little corn at this point. It's amazing, actually, percentage-wise, what we're how little we're storing. But I think that's going to pick up a little bit. It's actually probably picked up a little bit today compared to earlier in the week, and I think part of that's due to, you know, just the price going lower. Guys are a little less, you know, they're a little more hesitant to go ahead and sell across the scale on a down day.
And while we have you in that area, what are your bids for the day?
Our cash corn would be 683, Jan corn 698, and then cash beans would be 1329, Jan would be 1341.
Look out over the next week. Tell me what you think basis will do.
Well, I think I don't think basis is going to improve a whole lot. You know, we're getting right into the into the busy time of harvest. I really don't think it's going to improve a whole lot, and it's probably going to widen out if anything.
Does the break in the marketplace scare you at all?
I don't know that I would say it scares me. I'm not overly surprised at this point. I think that, you know, yes, it's still a tight situation, but the bottom line is you run out of buyers at a certain point, and especially run into harvest. So it's not surprising to me. I think that there still ought to be a fair amount of support underneath us here, but, you know, we did break through some technical points today, and, you know, some of the support kind of gave through, so it's a little bit concerning.
I've got about 20 seconds for you. Crystal ball, what you think will happen next July?
Oh, next July, gee whiz. I think it'll be, in my opinion, it'll be similar to this year unless we just have enormous plantings next spring.
That's what I wanted to know. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That is Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. We'll say goodbye now to some of our radio stations. For the rest of you, stay with us. We'll be back in just 2 minutes when we talk with Pete Levitt about the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Creme de Menthe Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1879, Frank Luntz was born, and American entomologist, museum curator, educator, conservationist, and writer. He was one of the leading U.S. entomologists of the first half of the 20th century. He taught that insects were an integral part of the environment. In 1898, William S. Burroughs died. An American inventor, Burroughs invented and manufactured the first adding machine with a printer. In 1904, the first balloon used for meteorological research in the U.S. was released in St. Louis, Missouri. The balloon carried instruments that would return to Earth when the balloon burst. Since the first launch, literally millions of weather balloons have been launched by the National Weather Service and its predecessor organizations. And in 1965, the Green Acres TV show debuted. Running until 1971, the show featured the yearnings of want-to-be farmer attorney Oliver Wendell Douglas, who purchased Sight Unseen, a 160-acre farm in Hooterville. By the way, one of our favorite episodes has Douglas's wife Lisa telling the folks of Hooterville that her husband was a ruthless cow killer. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Forgive me, I was on the phone, actually, with the folks at FSA. I didn't tell you that they're trying to update, or actually did update, the acreage figures this afternoon, though I haven't seen them come across the newswire. That was supposed to happen at 3 o'clock. As it happens, the public affairs person there just called and wanted to come on the air with us because we tried to schedule that for about 2:15 this afternoon. Hopefully he'll call in, and we'll see him shortly on the air with us to talk about those acreage numbers. And also, Pete Levitt, who is our regular Thursday afternoon meteorologist, is not available this afternoon. So we'll take a quick look at the weather forecast at this point this afternoon. Mostly sunny skies, the high of 62 degrees, and northeast winds about 9 to 11 miles an hour tonight, partly cloudy, a low of around 41. Kent Pulich of the USDA's FSA office is now on the phone line with us to talk about, I think, an updated release of the FSA acreage figures. Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Todd.
Can you give me a quick review? We've got just a minute and a half.
September numbers are going to be posted shortly. I just did a quick check to find out why they weren't up there, because we were trying to get them up at 2:45 Eastern time after the markets closed. But just a simple error. We will have them posted shortly.
Oh, okay. So at this point, you don't have numbers to talk
to
me about.
Don't have numbers to talk about, Todd. Quite frankly, you know, what we're doing here is a service for those people who normally would send us a FOIA request to have this information made available.
Right.
And so we're posting them on our website. And for those who are interested, all you have to do is go to the newsroom and then go to the eFOIA site, and you keep drilling down into the electronic reading room, frequently asked
You know what?
Questions.
I will take care of it for our listeners, and we'll talk about them tomorrow morning.
That sounds good.
Well, thank you. And by the way, thank you so much for calling back. I do appreciate that a lot.
I appreciate your service.
And thanks for doing it live. Thanks so much. All right, Todd. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
That's Kent Polich. He is with USDA's FSA. He's public affairs officer there and just told us that those numbers, acreage figures, will be updated on the FSA site, but you'll have to do a little work to get to them. So Dave and I will take care of that for you, and I'm sure Dave will tell you tomorrow morning, and I can talk to you again tomorrow afternoon about it. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.